to begin, let's look at what happened in the Old Testament lesson. The Israelites have escaped from slavery in Egypt, but freedom in the wilderness comes with its challenges. There are material challenges, like finding enough food and water, and then there are the spiritual challenges, such as trusting God in that wilderness time and place. The people turn to their leader Moses and demand water. The people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" Real world stuff. It's real. And it causes the people to ask in their suffering, is the Lord among us or not? Early in their journey, this testing of God is actually not presented as negative necessarily, but a valid concern. And God responds, "Yes, I am among you," by giving them the water they need. The Israelites knew they were in a desert. It was very obvious. They knew they needed God. They knew they were thirsty. But knowing the reality of our situation and what we need is not something humanity is always skilled in discerning. But it is in the reality of our situation. It is here and now where God meets us, where God is waiting for us to just turn a little bit and notice God's presence among us. We are surrounded by so much that competes for our attention, the demands of our culture, all that is filling our minds all the time, the media, the technology, which is such a gift, but is also distracting from what might be right in front of us in our lives. The Samaritan woman at the well may have been distracted by many voices in her life that judged her, voices that told her who she was and who she would always be. The text, the scripture, more current commentators note, provides no real evidence that she was morally lacking, only that she had a number of husbands, which could have been the case for many reasons. She could have been a widow many times over. But throughout the centuries, most often it's assumed that she was a notorious sinner. The people of her own time might have had similar concerns about her. What was she thinking as she went to draw water that day? For what was she longing? Did she know how thirsty she was before meeting Jesus? She was certainly not prepared for her encounter with Jesus, for the grace she would receive. The Lenten program we're holding on Wednesday nights features a young woman, Joan, a teenager who regularly talks to God. God comes right up to her during the day in the form of women and men and children and talks with her, much like Jesus did with the woman at the well. It's amazing how much the episode we watched this past week entitled State of Grace connects with the story of the woman at the well. In the episode, God appeared as security guard. God. So a security guard is God. This is what happens, that God shows up as the people in our lives. And God in this form asks Joan if she knows the meaning of grace, and then defines grace in this way, saying, "It's a touch of truth. It's a touch of truth that lets you see the world in a new way. It's a gift that can only be felt when you're open enough to accept it." Let's hear that again. "It's a touch of truth that lets you see the world in a new way. It's a gift that can only be felt when you're open enough to accept it." In the Joan of Arcadia episode, the theme centered on people being able to find their voice. There is so much grace in being able to find one's voice. Sometimes we have trouble finding our voice because we think the world will not be open to it, or the situation would not be right to speak our truth, or that no one really wants to hear from us. In the show, a gay teenage boy breaks through the oppressive prejudice of his own father to come out. Another boy on the debate team who stutters severely sees the world in a new way when Joan encourages him to write for the school newspaper as a way of making his voice heard. After hearing Joan find her voice in a school debate, Joan's mother Helen finds her voice by applying to be an art teacher at the high school. The grace of receiving a touch of truth. A touch of truth lets everyone see the world in a new way. This is what happened for all those people in that show. This is what happened for the woman at the well. We don't even have a name for this woman. Her story follows that of Nicodemus, whose name we do know. And they are foils for each other, and that the woman at the well is open to grace in a way that Nicodemus was not yet ready to receive. So imagine the scene. There she is, going to get water from the well as she has every day for years. There she is with all of her history and the circumstances of her life in that moment, that day. Jesus is sitting at the well. "Give me a drink," he says to her. Already, what she knows about the world and her place in it is being challenged. And so she asks Jesus, "Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jews and Samaritans were not friendly. They were enemies. And it was also going against, as we all know, the social norms of the day that Jesus, a man, would talk to a woman he doesn't know. So Jesus is challenging her already to see the world in a new way, to receive a touch of truth that will be grace for her. And he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." How can you get living water? You have no bucket. She says, a bit like Nicodemus at first, taking Jesus literally. But he goes on. "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." Then she asks for this water. She doesn't want to live as she has, continually seeking water that does not satisfy. Jesus then lets her know that he knows the pain of her life, all that she has been through. Jesus is showing her that the grace he brings for her is based in this reality of her life. She then starts to really understand who he is after the words from Jesus, particularly about worship. Worship not being about place, but about worshiping in spirit and truth. Jesus' words about worshiping in spirit and truth help put her in mind of the coming of God, the coming of God's reign. And then he reveals himself to her, saying that he is, in fact, the Messiah. And it's at that moment, that critical moment, when the disciples show up. When all those guys who have no clue what's going on make their appearance. And they're totally confused. Why is Jesus talking with this woman? But that woman, she found her voice through her encounter with Christ. Through the grace given, a touch of truth that let her see the world in a new way. It helps her to see herself in a new way. And she received that gift because she was open enough to accept it. And off she went to speak, to use her voice, to tell others about Jesus. Her voice so strong that many believed and remembered her. Remembered her even today, even though we don't know her name. Timothy Gallagher, in his book, An Ignatian Introduction to Prayer, he suggests that Jesus wants to meet us at the well as well. Jesus wants to meet us there. So in the Ignatian prayer, we put ourselves in the scene, and Gallagher does this for us, and he writes, "I'm there by the well. I see the dry countryside surrounding the well, the earthen road. I feel the heat of the midday hours. I see Jesus seated by the well, alone, his weariness revealed in his face as he rests. I become aware that he is waiting for me, that he has a gift of God that he longs to give me today." The meditation continues, coming to, "I ask Jesus to help me know the gift that he is offering me even now as I pray. I ask for eyes that are spiritually open to see this gift and to embrace it in my life." What is the touch of truth that will help you see the world in a new way today? What is the grace that God desires for you to embrace? May we be open enough to accept the grace that will strengthen us, comfort us, give us courage, help us find our voice, and set us free. Amen.